home for the very best of contemporary Christian music. 91.5 FM, WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. Today's Modern Worship, we pray that you are having a great, great day. Just to let you know, my wife and I are away this week, and we had purpose. We had a plan for this week that we were planning on a family member coming to live with us, and those plans fell apart, and so we chose to continue to have the week, and we were going to go and celebrate just to be able to get away. So in case you're wondering, happy anniversary. That today is our wedding anniversary, and I tell people this, and she thinks I'm making fun of her, but it really is true. I thank God for temporary blindness, because I really wasn't much to look at then. I've got a face for radio now, but God helped her to fall in love with me, I'm so glad that he did. So Acts chapter 2. So we're going to go to Acts chapter 2 today. We're going to be in verses 36 through 37. First of all, let me tell you about Coastal Image Landscapes, 321-208-2281. 321-208-2281. If you are looking for landscaping upgrades, I encourage you to call them. You can, the 321-208-2281, that gets you in touch with Dave. Dave does the lawn care division, the mowing and the edging and all that sort of stuff. Dan is who I've dealt with the landscaping division, and they have lots of good ideas. They are, and they're very quick. They're very efficient at doing what they do. A few weeks ago, I ran out to do some errands while I was out. They had been to my house. They had done some mulching at my house and made everything look all nice and beautiful. I came back and said, somehow the house looks nicer when I got back than it did when I left. And normally that doesn't happen unless I'm involved in it. But Coastal Image Landscapes had been there and done a great job. I sent them a text message and thanked them. And they said, we've been to the church too. And so we thank them for their efforts at keeping Merritt Assembly of God looking wonderful on the outside. 321-208-2281. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, a glorious day in the day of church history. And Peter is preaching. And in verse number 36, Peter writes, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized and repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So right now we're going to look at this because the truth of the matter is, verse number 47 is our focus, God added to the church daily those who were being saved. I heard of a well-known pastor that asked a pastor of a large church here in America, this goes back a long time, and they said, do you pastor a New Testament church? And he said, oh yes, absolutely. And he said, how many souls were added to the church today? And it wasn't a Sunday. And the pastor said, well, I don't know. We normally have people get saved on Sundays. And he said, then you're not a New Testament church. Because in the New Testament, God added daily to the church those who were being saved. So I want to share with you a progression, if you will, of what happened on the day of Pentecost. To give you just a brief glance, that verse number 1 says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one set upon each of them, and they were all were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This was in a marketplace setting. There were people from all over the world that were there to worship, and they heard people praising God and giving glory to God in their native tongue, which was quite perplexing. Some thought that they were intoxicated, and Peter gets up in verse number 14, and he begins to preach the word of God. We as a society have deteriorated so far from the standard of God's word that people can no longer tolerate preaching, biblical preaching, strong preaching, preaching that will provoke change in a person's life and cause them to see their great need of having Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But preaching is absolutely essential. There are many different types of churches. There are many different types of styles, and the speaking ministries are different types. And so I consider myself a preacher. There are others who I would consider more teachers than preachers. And those two things can go together. It's great if they work hand in hand. Teaching normally I would say that I do more teaching here on the radio. I do more preaching in the pulpit. Teaching takes a lot more time. Teaching is not only a thus saith the Lord, it is making sure that there is a reception of the truth that is being shared out there, and there is also an application of that. But there is no substitute for anointed preaching of God's word. Preaching points people to Jesus. And so when Peter is preaching here in Acts chapter 2, he concludes his sermon by saying this: "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." The preaching was designed to evoke a response from the people who were listening. And that is not manipulation. The only way that a biblical response can take place is if the Holy Spirit is the one who is, here's the second step in the process, convicting people of their mistreatment of Jesus. Okay? Convicting. Now, this is not condemning. This is convicting. Condemnation says you have treated Jesus so badly that God doesn't want to have anything to do with you. Convicting says this: God is standing here right now with arms wide open, knowing that you have rejected Jesus, but if you are willing to accept him and ask him to forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your life, he stands with arms wide open, ready to receive you. The Holy Spirit was moving in such a powerful way on the day of Pentecost, Peter did not give an altar call. The altar call came as a result of the anointed preaching that Peter had made on that day. The people he was preaching to said they were cut to the heart, and they asked Peter and the apostles, "What shall we do? What do we got to do to change this horrible wrong that we have committed against God?" Much of our modern society says, "Oh, well, it's no big deal." I tell a story. It's not fictional. It's an actual encounter of I went to a meeting. I was having a conversation with another pastor that I know, and we were talking about something that involved a business. And I was expressing the frustration with that business, and I mean, that's a reality. You know, sometimes people's business practices aren't everything we'd like them to be. So we weren't sitting together. We were standing there having a conversation. I ended up going to my seat, and when I got there, the Holy Spirit was waiting for me. And he said, "How dare you?" I said, "How dare I what?" Said, "How dare you sow seeds of strife and discord between a pastor and somebody in his church?" It's like, "I wasn't intending to do that." And he said, "Well, that's what you did. You need to get up and go apologize. You need to get up and go repent and correct the wrong that you have just initiated." Again, I don't know how God talks to you all, but I know this: he's constantly dealing with me to make me a better Christian, a better human being, and a better minister. So I went and I said, "Brother, I need to ask you to forgive me." And I told him what had happened. He said, "Well, it's no big deal. Didn't bother me." And my response was, "Well, it might not be a big deal to you, but it was a big enough deal to God that he was waiting for me at my seat when I got back. And I have to react to what God has convicted me of in my seat. He said, I forgive you. Sin is not trivial. Sin is lethal. You know, people look in Proverbs and they label them the seven deadly sins. I can tell you this. Most of the things that damage people to and bring them to the brink of death, if not completely kill them, most of those problems are very, very small in size, but they are not insignificant in effect. A blood clot may not be very large, but it can kill you. A virus cannot be seen with the naked eye, but it can impact a global economy. Why would we think that sin would be of no big deal to God? Sin is very, very serious to God. It is a wrong against God. Forget about what it does to other people for just a moment. It has a negative impact on them. It has a negative impact on you. But it is a grievous wrong against God. And it should, that convicting should lead to repenting. It should not have to be a coerced repenting. Repenting is not just a change of heart. It is a change of mind. It is a change of direction. It is a change of action. It leads from repentance, transforms us from pursuing disobedience to the next step, which is pursuing obedience. Here it talks about that the obedience is that not only should they repent, but that they should be baptized. Baptism doesn't save you. You are saved by grace through faith. The thief on the cross was not baptized. There wasn't a whole lot of opportunity there as he was hanging on the cross. The Romans had one goal for him. That was to die. And that was accomplished in a few hours. Baptism does not have a redemptive capability to it. Baptism is an act of obedience. It is a part of our testimony. It says, because of what Jesus has done in my life, I am from this point forward going to identify with him in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. There's baptism water, there's baptism in the Holy Spirit. We should want to be fully immersed in everything that God wants us to be filled with. I want to be filled to overflowing with faith. I want to be filled to overflowing with love, filled to overflowing with joy. We should really long to be full of the things that God wants us to be filled with. And so once they became obedient, he said, you're also going to be receiving the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit was a gift that was universally desired by God to reach people all across the globe, but also throughout the corridors of time. He said, the promise is for you, for your children, and for all those who are afar off, whether that be geographical or chronological, as many as the Lord our God will call. And so the promise of God the Holy Spirit operating in our life is something we should embrace instead of be apprehensive of. I absolutely believe that. So this last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday. Jesus said that it was expedient for the church that he would go away so that God the Holy Spirit would come in his place. So I want to encourage you, if you're not afraid of God the Father, if you're not afraid of God the Son, don't be afraid of God the Holy Spirit. The reality is we face a very authentic, genuine, lethal enemy, and I don't want to go into a spiritual battle with one arm tied behind my back. I want to go in with all of the armor of God, all of the arsenal of God at my disposal. I want to go in full guns blazing. You see, God doesn't have a limited supply of spiritual ammunition. I don't just want to barely eke out a victory. I want it to be a complete and total domination. So there was preaching, there was convicting of sin, there was repenting, there was obedience, there's receiving the Holy Spirit. And the church goes on here, and it says that discipleship became a very important part of their life. It said, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Those two things. I believe they go hand in hand. I believe you learn a lot more as you are journeying through life with someone with more experience than you do if you are just cramming for a test. There were many late night study sessions where I was studying to pass a test instead of instilling information into the core of my being. Those are two separate goals. There's two different styles there. And so a lot of people do not believe that doctrine is important. I'm telling you, doctrine is absolutely important. You do not want to be embracing heresy. Heresy can lead you astray. Heresy will pull you away from the Word of God, and therefore you can be more easily deceived. You don't want to be free from the Word. You want to be in love with the Word and living the Word and proclaiming the Word. So fellowship is one of the things that we do especially well at Merit Assembly of God. We think it's great when the people of the church like one another, like to hang out with one another. And so we have various events throughout the month where ladies can get together, the guys can get together, the youth group can get together, the whole church can get together. And so those things are all very, very important. Let me go up here, and in verse number 38, it says, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That doesn't mean to slow sin down. Remission of sins means for those sins to be pardoned, for there to be forgiveness, and for you and I to be released from sin's influence and sin's consequences. You and I are supposed to be liberated from the enslaving aspect of sin. How many people go through their life thinking that they have a stronghold in their life firmly under their control, only to find out that they're not the one in control? I ask a lot of people who walk dogs in my neighborhood, are you walking the dog or is the dog walking you? I've had dogs that did both. you know, that by the time I got back from walking the dog, we don't have any dogs right now, just to hold on just a minute. Thank you, Jesus. Love dogs, but also love the liberty that comes from not having to take care of the dogs. All the kids moved out and they took their dogs with them. You and I are to be forgiven our sins, released from the control of those things. And so if you think that, I had a person that told me one time, they said, if I go to a bar, I could drink 13 beers. And if you ask me at the end of 13 beers, are you drunk? He said, I would tell you no. Now, according to their past, the police officer had not agreed with their conclusion on multiple occasions. And so I would say you need to get rid of that thing. You need Jesus to liberate you from that thing. And I pray that they did. He goes on and he says, in verse number 40, Peter continues testifying and exhorting them. He says, be saved from this perverse generation. And so with salvation, that being delivered, being made whole, that ability to be healed and saved, we are saved not only from sin, but also from this perverse generation. That means that it is a generation that is crooked. It's a generation that is harsh, and it's a generation that is unjust. Now, I want you to think about those three adjectives: crooked, harsh, and unjust. Does that sound like some fictional society, or does that sound like the day and time in which we live? Because I think we are living in a day and time where people are very harsh, very violent with one another. The standard of righteousness that the world has set up is not a righteous standard. It is crooked. The Bible says, can anything crooked be made straight? Well, only by the blood of Jesus. See a whole lot of injustice in the world. It goes on here and concludes, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. If you've been a Christian for a while, you can probably tell me the day that you were saved. But I can also tell you today that the Holy Spirit didn't just save you once. You are being saved today. He is continuing to work on you day after day. He's working in other people's lives. And ultimately, one day, the trump is going to sound. We're going to be pulled out of this world into the presence of Jesus for all of eternity. And that day, we will be ultimately saved. Thank God we are being saved. See you next time. Right.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
It's been a bad day. You've been looking back, and all you can see is everything you wish you could take back. All your mistakes, a world of regrets, all of those moments you would rather forget. I know it's hard to believe, but let me refresh your memory. Yesterday is here.